Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This Sunday ends the church year, and we call it Christ the King. So for all of you who have any idea of church history, do you know what the Sunday of Christ the King is about, when it started? Does anybody know? Oh, then you'll learn something new today. I had to look it up myself. I'm not a very liturgical person, so I needed to look this whole thing up about Christ the King. Where did it come from? And I found in the church history, it's relatively new. You know, church history kind of changes very infrequently, and this new addition to the church year actually happened in 1925 by Pope Pius. Pope Pius was very concerned because the world was becoming more and more secularized. And so to combat this, he proclaimed that one Sunday would be Christ the King Sunday to emphasize the rule of Christ. I'm sure there were some political motives too, because he wanted to talk about the church being above government. As people put their faith in the secular world, he wanted to make some distinction. And he talked about Jesus being supreme and Christ being the ruler of all. And so to emphasize this, he proclaimed one Sunday to be Christ the King Sunday. I can understand Pope Pius's issue when people look to others for their value, when people do not regard Christ as king. But this happened a long time before Pope Pius. In fact, very few people understood Christ the King, especially when he was hanging on a cross. Kings don't usually reign from places of execution. Kings usually do not reign in humility. And here was Jesus hanging on the cross, and very few people knew it. The Roman soldiers certainly didn't know it, and as the king was hanging there, they were gambling for his possessions. People usually don't raid kings' palaces and take all their stuff while the king is in power. So you can understand why they did not understand that Jesus was a king. And I'd like to tell you two things about this king. The first was, as he was being absolutely humiliated and tortured to death, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." This king of ours, the platform of his reign is forgiveness. Not just forgiveness when people ask for it, but forgiveness when people do not care whether he gives it or not. That's the kind of reign of this king that we're talking about, King Jesus. And it's one of the hallmarks of our Christian life, and it's one of the most difficult things for us to do, is forgive. It's hard enough when someone comes asking for forgiveness, but when someone hurts us and does not ask, does not even care how we feel, if we are part of this kingdom, we need to forgive as the king has done. It's the hallmark of his reign is forgiveness. In my first church, I met a lady when I first came who was on our board. She seemed to be my best friend in the world. And she had me over for dinner. She would talk to me. She was a lay preacher. She was very gifted. She also had another friend who was very gifted. And when you're in a congregation, when it's limping to disaster, when it's limping to death, you kind of glom onto people who have some life. And she certainly had some life about her. And as the church started to change, And the church started to change in very good ways. Attendance started to change, and we start to see more people in. She became more and more disaffected because the church did not change the way she and her friend wanted it to change. And the church became an example that was against the prevailing opinions. We call Sundays the most segregated hour in American life. That church started to become integrated, and that was very uncomfortable. And so her attitude soured. And the same person who had been very supportive became very unsupportive and started to make my life miserable. And her friend also piled on. When her mother was sick, I visited all the time. And when her mother died, there was a beautiful funeral, and then she left the church, but didn't leave her membership. So every church council after that, which was on a Sunday, she'd bring a group to church and sit there like this. And I'd have to preach with people with their arms crossed. And I knew that trouble was afoot, because at the annual meeting, she was going to say things or have some other friends say things. Finally, she left for good, and I was very pleased with that. I did not follow her up. And then I left the church. And fortunately, she did not come back to the church after the new pastor, who was a lot nicer than I was. She didn't come back. And then I heard, after a couple of years in my new church, that she was very ill. In fact, she was dying, and she was not an elderly woman. She was in her 40s, and she was dying. And my sister was so concerned that my sister called her at her hospital and talked to her. Now, my sister really had no reason to do that. She hadn't been friendly to her either. But she called and she asked how she was, and she had a lovely conversation, and she sent me her number and said, you know, she's not going to make it, and it might be nice for you to call. This pastor did not call. Now, I piously brought her name up in prayer every Sunday in my new church. They didn't know who she was, but I prayed for her. And then when she died, I prayed for the family. But I did not call. You see, King Jesus expects us, when we are not asked to forgive, to forgive. And I held on to that resentment long after that woman was dead. And I realized something many years later. If I had picked up the phone, it wasn't so much to help her, it was to help me. If Jesus can forgive the people murdering him, are we any better than Jesus? Can't we open our hearts? Can't we open ourselves? And can't we extend grace to people who don't care if we forgive them or not? That's the King's reign. And when we do that, we grow in leaps and bounds. My growth was stunted because I didn't learn that lesson then. So, of course, when we don't learn lessons, what happens? They're repeated over and over again until we figure it out. Now, there's a second thing I learned from the scripture about our king. There was a thief, a man of ill repute, a man who had done nothing good in his life, nothing to earn respect, nothing to help somebody else. In fact, he stole from people. And he asked a question of Jesus, and it was an interesting question. He did not ask to be rescued. He asked to be remembered. Now, he knew Jesus was innocent, but beyond that, he caught a glimpse of royalty. And so he said, Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And I thought of this, that Jesus is not only the God, the King of the second chance. He's the King of restoration. He didn't just say to the thief, you're going to have a second chance in a new kingdom. He said, you're going to walk with me in paradise. Now, the word paradise was the word that was used for the walled garden of a king. In those days, people, ordinary people, didn't have lush gardens, but royalty did, and they had beautifully tended gardens, and there was a wall around these gardens. And anyone who the king wanted to show special favor to, the king would invite to walk with him in his garden. So Jesus was saying, today, you're going to walk with me in my garden, in paradise. You're going to have a place of honor. So for people who have tons of regret, for people who feel that life has passed them by and they've done so many things that they regret, Jesus says, this day, if you open your heart to me, we'll walk in paradise. That's not just the time Jesus is here. We are in paradise. Every time we come to him in prayer, we're in paradise. Every time we're in the car and we're talking to him, we're in paradise. There was a woman's testimony that I saw recently. Her name was Carla Faye Tucker. You might know that name. She was a woman who committed brutal crimes. She murdered at least two people and really didn't feel sorry about it at all, and she was caught. And while she was in prison, she was in a Bible study, and I think she only went just to get out of her cell. And after the study was over, she stole a Bible. Now, she didn't realize they were there for her to take, but she stole it. She snuck it out of there. And she's reading her Bible, and she said, in that cell, all of a sudden, she felt the power and the grace of God. And she said it was like somebody took their hands and ripped out all the darkness. And in its place, she realized the heinous thing she had done. All the grief, all the outrage, all the sorrow of what she did came down on her. But at the same time, she recognized that God loved her above all others. Now, society did not pardon this woman. Society did not give her a break. Society did not forgive. She was executed. But until that execution, people who knew her said everyone who came into her path was changed because of the power and the grace of God. Carla Faye Tucker was walking in paradise, even in that prison cell. We have a king today whose platform is forgiveness, and we have a king today who renews us every single day. Today, we can walk with him in paradise. We can walk with him in renewed strength and power and peace. If you're living with a ton of regret, there are things you can't fix, remember that the King stands ready. He'll walk with you today. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that the King whom we serve is constantly calling us to himself. And I ask, O Lord, as we walk this week with you, that you will remind us of the paradise of your presence. And if there is one that we have held a grudge against too long, that you would help us to truly forgive as servants of the King. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.